breaking down Wisconsin basketball. This is The Swing with Zach Heilprin and Jesse Temple on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Yes, welcome in. It is officially March Madness. Brackets got released on Sunday. The Badgers in the South region going to take on the James Madison Dukes on Friday night, one of the last games to tip, 8:40 in Brooklyn. It should be an interesting game, and we'll talk about it. Jesse, I think obviously we definitely need to talk about what happened up in Minneapolis, because I think our expectations perhaps may change a little bit, though the draw that Wisconsin got might temper those expectations a little bit as well. It was a very good week, I think you could say, for the Badgers up in Minneapolis. Obviously, they don't bring home a title. They don't bring home hardware. But as Greg Gard said, and I think it's hard to disagree with, they walked in as a team on Wednesday, and they walked out of that arena yesterday a much better team.
Oh, without a doubt. There was a point going into the tournament where, frankly, I wondered, are they just going to flame out in the first game, whether it's Maryland or Rutgers, because they had lost by 22 on the road against Rutgers, obviously came back and beat Rutgers at home, had barely beaten Maryland at home by 4 points. And then the Badgers go out and hit 16 three-pointers and blow the doors off Maryland, 87-56, and keep the train rolling. It was impressive in so many ways. The fact that they beat a Northwestern team without Chucky Hepburn in the starting lineup. Chucky's been the starter since he got here as a freshman 3 seasons ago. And the biggest win, clearly the Purdue one, which to me showcased everything that is good about this team when they are at their best, to go toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the country, despite the fact that three guys fouled out trying to defend Zach Edey, and yet Chucky making a huge play to end regulation, Max Klesman hitting the game winner, and even the Illinois game. Yes, Wisconsin didn't win, but the Badgers did have a 10-point second-half lead, and Terrence Shannon Jr. is one of the best scorers in the country. He was coming off a Big Ten tournament record 40-point game in the semifinals. So there was a lot to like about what Wisconsin did. For them to get to the championship game showed everybody that they are back to playing at the level that they were at when they were at their best earlier in the season. The big question is, can you keep that going when you get into the NCAA tournament against teams that you are not familiar with?
Yeah, right. It doesn't really matter how you play, because we're not going to, like, I'm so impressed with what they did in Minneapolis. There's just no doubt. It's impossible not to be impressed with what they did. And they are rounding back into shape. They are, as I think Max Klesmet said, they have their swagger back. They have guys, and you know, Stephen Crowell said it yesterday. They didn't care. They don't care where they end up and who they play. And it just, you know, when I was asking about James Madison and those guys, obviously right after the announcement, didn't know much about James Madison. Even Greg Gard didn't know a ton other than, you know, how many wins they had put up and winning the Sun Belt, not the regular season, but the conference tournament title, and, you know, having some veteran players and, you know, some names here that he knew because of South Dakota State, the Friedel kid. So there are all those things, right? But nothing what happened this past week will be remembered if they go and flame out on Friday night, right? Like it's unfortunate. That's just the way that college basketball is, and the way that March means so much. The beginning of March is important, conference tournaments, you know, and all that good stuff. But it's the stuff that happens in the middle of March and the end of March that matter.
It is so interesting, Zach, because it's all a matter of perspective. If you come from a one-bid league, then the conference tournament is the most important thing. You could have a great regular season, and it still won't matter because you've got to win that conference tournament. But for a team like Wisconsin, they were in the tournament coming in, but they played themselves into a 5 seed. And yet, that run won't feel very good if they lose in that first round game. I think about last year, Purdue won the Big Ten tournament championship, earned a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament, and then got bounced 5 days later to a 16 seed in Fairleigh Dickinson. Who cared very much that they won a Big Ten tournament championship 5 days earlier? Nobody. And just for a matter of perspective, because you and I were both up in Minneapolis, I went into the Purdue locker room after they lost the game 76-75 to Wisconsin on Saturday. It was just such an interesting experience because those guys didn't want to lose. No one who's a competitor does. But they were absolutely fine. Like it didn't mean anything to them, and they said as much. They're like, yeah, winning this tournament, that would have been great, but our goal is to win a national championship, and if anything, we got an extra day of rest. So it is all a matter of perspective, and we know if you're in the tournament, the big one, the NCAA tournament, and how you're judged is dictated by how you perform in the NCAA tournament.
Purdue's done all that stuff before, right? Like they've won the Big Ten regular season, they've won the Big Ten tournament title, they've done those things. It doesn't matter to them because they've already done them. It's not like 2015, like I, you know, going back to 2015 Wisconsin, those guys had never won a Big Ten title. They had never won a Big Ten tournament title. So despite that run to the Final Four the year before, they had not done those things. So those were important to them. It was important to win the regular season title. It was important to go to Chicago and win the Big Ten tournament title. Those were important. And if they had lost those would have been goals that they had not reached. And it would have been, you know, if they had still gone on and done what they did in the tournament, it wouldn't have really dragged on it. But it's just an addition to how special that year was because they did everything that they set out to do outside of obviously closing down and beating Duke in the final game. Those things matter to them. For Purdue, those things do not matter anymore. It's about getting to the tournament. It's about winning a national title. That's different teams, different goals, different things that are important. I will say, after the game yesterday, going into the Wisconsin locker room, there was some disappointment in there, but there was also a feeling of excitement because of how they've played these last, you know, Greg Gard will say the last 2 weeks, you know, going back to the Rutgers game and then what they did at Purdue, losing situation. But doing that, they are excited, and because as Tyler Wall said, they're playing better now going into this tournament than in any time that they've been in the tournament when he's been here, right? They didn't get to go in 20. In 21, they weren't playing great going into that one. They were not playing great going into 22. I shouldn't say they weren't playing great in 22, but you know, Johnny's hurt. They get knocked out of the Big Ten tournament on that Friday night. It's not an ideal situation. They just, you know, they found a way to get past that first round. They were not playing great basketball, even though they got to go to Milwaukee, right? And then they lose Chucky against Iowa State and everything falls apart. This team is probably playing as well as anyone you could probably hope at this point. Like I go back maybe to the 2017 team that had a little bit of a struggle down the stretch, but ended up making it to the conference title game against Michigan. They lost that one. They got underseeded, still beat Virginia Tech, and then went and beat Villanova, the number one seed. So this team has that type of ability to go and make some the same noise. The problem here is, Jesse, is yes, they are a five seed. I think they played themselves into that five seed with what they did in Minneapolis. They're going to could be challenged on Friday, right? Like this is not going to be, I don't think this is going to be as easy as what some may think it. And I guess, you know, maybe that's a stupid thing to say. I bet you there's a lot of people that are like 5'12", and I think everyone, there's a lot of people picking, will end up picking James Madison. But it's not as simple as just rolling out there and rolling over them.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point you make about the way Wisconsin is playing going into the NCAA tournament and how that is juxtaposed against what we've seen from some previous Badgers teams. There's a lot of reason to feel optimistic going into this tournament, despite the fact Wisconsin lost its last game in the Big Ten Championship to a very good Illinois team with some very good scorers and dynamic players. On the other hand, what do we say? What have we said for months that it ends up being about matchups? And I'm not sitting here saying it's a bad matchup for Wisconsin. I'm not going to pretend like I've studied the tape on all 34 James Madison games this season. But I've always looked at the tournament, especially when it's these teams that you don't necessarily know a whole lot about, and you see that they've won 30 plus games, I think that matters a whole lot this time of year because it shows that it is a team that is used to winning, that won't come into an environment like this and be intimidated. And for anybody who doesn't remember, James Madison beat Michigan State. Granted, it wasn't as good of a Michigan State team as anybody thought, but the Spartans still did end up making the tournament. They went to East Lansing and beat Michigan State early in the season when the Spartans were one of the top teams in the country and then just kept on winning. And I know they didn't end up winning their conference regular season crown, but they had to go and win the conference tournament. They did so. There's only four teams coming into this tournament that have won at least 30 games. The other is our McNeese and then two of the top teams in the country, UConn and Houston. So it says a lot about how good they are that they've won that many games. And Wisconsin is going to have to play its best. And I mean, we've talked so much about not just winning one game, but can you make it out of that first weekend? And you're looking at the prospect of potentially playing Duke in the second round. It is clearly not an easy path. On the other hand, if you make it this far, I don't think anyone should expect an easy path in the NCAA tournament. So they're going to have to play and continue to play their best basketball to keep moving on.
Things have not necessarily gone great when they've been the number five seed in the tournament. This will be the fifth time they've been the number five seed. The other times, 1999, the famous game where they scored 32 points in a loss to Southwest Missouri State. The next time they were a five seed actually went quite well. It was the year that they beat Weber State, and then had that play against Tulsa that Freddie Owens hit the three late in that game to get them into the Sweet 16, and then they played Kentucky very, very tough up in the Metrodome before losing that one. It's also, you know, Marquette's back in the Marquette's in the same region, in the South region, could be looking at a potential matchup with them very similar to that year. Had they beaten Kentucky that year, it would have been Wisconsin and Marquette to play for the Final Four. But the last two times have been the five seed. I believe you've been here since then. 2013, that game down in Kansas City where Wisconsin scored 46 points and could not hit the broadside of a barn. Had Marshall Henderson for Ole Miss in a loss that was just absolutely brutal. And I think it was your story. It might have been your story about, you know, Sam Decker sitting in the locker room after that game and saying, "This is never going to happen again. Like we're never going to allow this to happen again." And obviously, maybe that was played up. I don't know if that was your story or maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But that was kind of like a springboard. Like, we can't be this team again. And then, you know, two Final Four runs the next 2 years. And then the last time it happened was in 2019, a team that was not playing well down the stretch and went out to San Jose and got hammered by an Oregon team that was playing some of the best basketball of anybody in the country. It was one of those teams that got hot late and made the tournament much more talented than their seed would suggest. So they have it's not been great when they've been the five seed. They have also been the 12 seed one time and ended up pulling the upset as well. So they've been on the opposite side of it. But the history here, not ideal for Wisconsin.
I still remember that 5-12 game against Ole Miss because it was in Kansas City. They had the first game of the day, 11 a.m. on a Thursday, and they were bounced by 1 o'clock. And I was sitting there going like, well, shoot, what happens now? I mean, it's all over. And I do remember Bo being in the locker room and just being super honest about the fact that that team could not score. The good news for this team is, while it's fun to revisit history, it has absolutely nothing to do with this group. And none of that stuff even happened while these guys were here. But nope. It does highlight the challenge that a lot of five seeds have. Anybody who's listening who's done a bracket is probably well aware that you always want to find at least one 12-5 matchup where you say that 12 is going to beat a 5. It speaks to the parity in college basketball. And I won't be surprised, and I'm not saying this just about Wisconsin and its matchup against James Madison, because we obviously don't know exactly how it's going to play out. But if there are more so-called upsets this year than what we've seen in a lot of seasons, just because this is one of those years where there are not a bunch of dominant teams and the parity is as evident as ever, as we've discussed throughout the season. So it makes it even more challenging to try and figure out, if you are Wisconsin, how you get out of that first weekend. But obviously it begins with the matchup against James Madison. And what's interesting is, I'll be curious to see how that team responds, because that's a program that hadn't been to the NCAA tournament, and if I'm not mistaken, 11 years.
And yeah, 2013.
One guy on the roster who's actually been there, TJ Bickerstaff, who's the team's second leading scorer, went to the NCAA tournament when he was at Drexel, and then he transferred to Boston College. And so he has played at Barclays Center, where Wisconsin and James Madison are going to play. But for the most part, these are not guys who have been a part of that. And I do wonder how much that will matter in a game like this, even though I said before, they're not going to go in intimidated because they've beaten a Michigan State. They've won 30 plus games, but it is a different setting. And that is the case for James Madison, but it's also the case for Wisconsin, which is coming off a season where it did not go to the NCAA tournament. So you've still got guys that have not been a part of this. Max Klesman comes to mind too. What did he say when we were talking to him in the locker room after the Purdue game? Like, this was all still new to him. He'd never gone that deep in a tournament in March. So a lot of people will be tasked with figuring out how to respond in an environment that is not something they get to experience every year.
It was hilarious. So we got to talk to him after the game yesterday. He was talking about he was like a kid in the candy store because he had never been in the NCAA tournament before. He couldn't wait to get out there. He goes, yeah, Brooklyn. I get to play at Madison Square Garden where Jeremy Lin lit it up. We had to be the bearers of bad news to him with, yeah, it's actually a Barclays Center. It's not an MSG. So he goes, well, that's pretty cool too. I'm like, I mean, it's a very nice arena. Very nice. It's going to be probably pretty awesome. Wisconsin has, you know, at least one Wisconsin player actually has been to Barclays Center. His name would be Tyler Wahl. They played there his freshman year in 2019, 2020. It was a brutal time there at Barclays Center. I believe the New Mexico game, they went 2-for-23 from three. But yes, that they lost both those games. They lost to Richmond, then they lost to New Mexico. That team turned out to be pretty good. Greg Gard actually mentioned that yesterday because he's like, yeah, we've been there before. That team actually turned out to be pretty good. Who knows how good they could have been if they had actually gotten a postseason. But those are irrelevant to what happens on Friday. I will say last year was the first tournament was one of the first tournaments in a, I think it's five or six times since 1985 that a five did not win. All the fives won last year. None of the 12s won. It was the sixth time that that's ever happened. The others, 1988, 2000, 2007, 2015, and 2018. So as many as three have lost in recently, I guess, within the last 5 years, 2019, when Wisconsin, Marquette, and Mississippi State all lost as well. So the five seed wins 65% of the time. That number seems high just because it feels like it's always there. But I think that's going to be a pretty popular upset pick. Would you agree? Wisconsin falling to James Madison?
Well,
I mean, they were picking it on the selection show.
Yeah, he's picking it right away. I always wonder about that. Like, can you save your hashtag hot take until after the teams get to celebrate? I mean, you have 4 days to talk about this, maybe two with the teams that are going to go to the play-in games. But that's part of the joys and the perils of the entire experience. And I think I've told this story before, but when the team went to the 94 NCAA tournament, Digger Phelps was talking right away about how Missouri was going to beat Wisconsin, and that was a pick. And it fueled the guys. So if nothing else, hearing that maybe it's an upset special will motivate Wisconsin even further.
Yeah, a little chip on the shoulder. A little chip on the shoulder to add to what, there has been a lot of negativity, and I'm not going to sit here and say I haven't been a part of that negativity towards the end of in February where things were not going well. The fact that they were able to continue to play and fight and scratch and get and claw and back their way into form that they had shown earlier this year, I think is very impressive, very impressive. And I know it was just a four-day stretch, and it doesn't guarantee anything. But, you know, and Stephen Crowell said it yesterday, if they had blown, you know, it was 61-51 yesterday, and that lead got erased very quickly. It was a 19-4 run, and Illinois goes up, I think it was six. And you look at maybe in February, they melt. And they fold and they lose by double digits, kind of like Nebraska did the night before. And that's not what happened with Wisconsin. They fought back. They tied the game. They had their chances and they just could not get that one stop or that one rebound to get over the hump like they had the previous day. But I think that showed, again, it wasn't a win, but they also didn't just fold up shop and cower and turtle. They went the other way.
Yeah, and I feel like there's at least a few players we should talk about a little bit more in depth as we get ready for the NBA tournament based on what we saw. AJ Storr has been the talk of the season, and we could get to that because there's no denying his scoring ability and the ways that he elevates this team. But to me, what Chucky Hepburn did during this tournament, especially over the last 2 days, spoke volumes about his toughness, his mentality, and potentially what we could see here in the next week or beyond. Because we were talking to him after that Purdue game. I mean, he did not play against Northwestern, had a knee injury, and he said he was about 40% then and spent the next day getting a bunch of treatment, including acupuncture in the back of the knee, which he said he's not a huge fan of needles. And he said that he was screaming so loud in the hotel that everybody could hear him. But all of that allowed him to get to what he said was about 85% to being full strength for that semifinal matchup. And he was just dominant. He could not be denied. He looked like he was playing in a Nebraska state tournament game when he was the Nebraska High School Player of the Year, just getting what he wanted when he wanted it. 22 points, which I think was his season high.
Yep.
And then he goes out and does it again against Illinois, ends up with 20 points, has 5 assists, 1 turnover. We've spent a lot of this season talking about how his offensive game had taken a bit of a backseat to other players. And yes, he had been a better overall player and his assist to turnover ratio was up. But Chucky can still be that dude, and I feel like what we saw means he still needs to be that dude because he's fully capable of it. So they do not get where they were without Chucky's performance, and while there are a lot of guys that are worth talking about, he stood out to me because of what he was able to do, especially coming off not being able to play against Northwestern.
Right. I had a well actually in my comments. Apparently, dry needling is not acupuncture.
Okay.
It's apparently physical therapy.
Okay.
I didn't go and look into it further. I don't really care. But anytime you're getting needles stuck in the back of your knee, you're making some effort to get right. you're making some effort to, you know, to make it happen and be able to be on the floor for your guys. And that's exactly what he did. And, you know, having the entire hotel hearing you scream, while these things are going into the back of your knee says something about Chucky. I think certainly doing everything possible to get back on the floor. And you talk about his offensive game, and I think it was great. But I thought what he did to Braden Smith on Saturday was just off the charts, right? Like Braden Smith was the first team All Big Ten guard, I believe, and very deserving, I think. But Chucky got into him and got in his head. And he was essentially a non-factor. I know he had 10 assists. I think most of those were just feels like dump-ins to Zach Edey. That's a little bit of a joke, but he went 3 for 10. He had seven. I think he had 7 points, and he fouled out. And the foul out was the biggest play of the game defensively for Wisconsin when he pushed off. Wisconsin got the ball back and had it and ended up with the game winner. So he was taken out, and I think that was as masterclass as you could possibly get from Chucky Hepburn on Saturday. And again, it was both ways, right? It wasn't just defense, which has been largely his calling card this year. It was offensively getting his teammates involved, not turning the ball over, didn't have a single turnover that day. It was, as Tyler Wall said, and I think a lot of people in that locker room would agree, probably the best game he's ever played at Wisconsin. And
yeah,
and he kind of carried him yesterday too, along with AJ Storr offensively. It just obviously wasn't enough because of what Illinois had in Shannon and Domask, but he was fantastic. They're going to get that Chucky, if they're going to get a guy locked in like that and zoned in to the point, you know, both leadership wise and on the court and performance wise and finding his voice, like Greg Gartzy has found his voice here these last few weeks, they're going to be an extremely tough out, not just Friday, but on Sunday, if they were to make it there against Duke or Vermont. It's just, I think he's the engine that drives it. I do. I know AJ Storr is that dude and can go and get his buckets, whatever he wants. But the fact that what he does on both ends of the court just makes him different.
Yeah, Chucky has to do it in a much more efficient way too.
He's not going to get 23 shots like AJ did against Purdue,
and AJ went 8 for 23. I feel like so much happened here in the last week, trying to encapsulate that within this show, but also look ahead is a lot. But another thing that happened in that Purdue game that's noteworthy is on the shot that Chucky made, or the play to send the game to regulation, it's the same play call that Wisconsin ran in the 2016 NCAA tournament for Bronson Koenig when he buried the three from the right corner to beat Xavier in the second round. They call it wagon. They put Chucky in the paint, and they just circled a bunch of players around the perimeter until Chucky got the ball. And another thing that speaks to Chucky's just intelligence and decision-making ability, the plan on that play was for him to shoot a three-pointer just like Bronson did to go for the outright win. But Braden Smith was playing so close on him that Chucky knew he had a little window and went right by him and made the layup with nobody on him as time expired. And as Max Klesmy said, it's a savvy move by the best point guard in the country, in his opinion. Certainly for that day, Chucky played like it, but so much to like about Chucky's game and obviously the team in general for its ability to respond in the last two matchups.
my favorite part of that whole thing is the interaction on Twitter, because as soon as it happens, that like I put it out. I'm like, that looked like a very similar action as to what they ran in 2016. And, you know, like a second later, Zach Showalter put out a tweet saying it was the exact same thing. And he put it out there and he tagged Bronson, and Bronson was actually in the building on Saturday. And so he saw it, but he also, he's like, yeah, it was, but I would have pulled the three. So he, one of the more confident guys you'll ever be around is Bronson Koenig, but it was a great move by Chucky because the three wasn't there. You know what I mean? It was not like it just wasn't. And why force that when you have enough time to get to the basket? It was just a very veteran savvy play on his part. And there was nobody there because they had brought Zach Edey out to guard Tyler Wall on the outside. I wonder if, you know, certainly I'm sure looking back, maybe Matt Painter does something differently, because I'm not worried about Tyler Wall as the inbounder, especially, you know, shooting a three or anything like that. So irrelevant. Great play by Wisconsin, gets the game to overtime, and then Max Klesmer with the floater. And someone asked him, like, did you think it was going in off your hand? He goes, I think everything's going in off my hand.
Yeah. Like, I asked him that in the after the game. And first he's like, oh yeah, every shot that I take, I think is going in, but everyone in here should think that. But he also said that's it. That's his shot. He loves the floater. And when I was talking to the Wall about it, he said that the team jokes and they call it the Nina floater, which is where his hometown in Wisconsin, like, apparently that is what they consider to be his specialty. But another guy that just a gutsy performance, and in the Illinois game in particular, had went out in the middle of the game, was dealing with a hamstring injury that's been bothering him for a while, but refused to go back and get treatment in the locker room, went on the bike and came back out there and buried some clutch threes. And so that's part of what's going to carry this team to something special, is having multiple players play well at the same time. And it does feel like that's what the Badgers are getting.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Anything else from the tournament that stood out to you? I thought certainly Stephen Crowell being a little more aggressive and shooting from the outside. Those teams, especially yesterday, closing out and not or, you know, trying to run him off the line, not allowing him to have any looks from deep, is notable. It certainly opens up driving lanes for other guys.
Yeah. I mean, he said many times that he needs to be more aggressive, and didn't turn the ball over too. Got five assists. You do not see that very often out of a big man, but they're going to need more of that. And, you know, I don't want to gloss over AJ Storr and his importance. The guy did average, 25 points a game or something like that for them, something close to 22 points a game. You'd like it to be a little bit more efficient at times, but man, he can score in every way possible. And it doesn't seem like the moment is too big for him. So, but they're going to need more of that in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. I mean, he was extremely efficient against Northwestern when he put up the 30, there was efficiency there, and maybe not great against Purdue. And yesterday they kind of needed him to be that guy again, to take it to the hoop. And I thought he did a really solid job of that. He's just facing off against a guy that does it as well as anybody in the country, in Terrence Shannon Jr. And obviously Terrence Shannon was the one that was guarding him heavily, and he was not getting to guard him at the other end. That was Chucky's thing. But I don't know how like slowing Terrence Shannon is just not like an easy thing to do. And then I don't know what exactly you do with Marcus Domask either, if you're Wisconsin. Like, it's a really tough matchup for the Badgers on a number of different levels. Like, I just don't know how you change it, especially if Illinois is able to pass out of those doubles the help defense that Wisconsin was playing when Domask had his back to the basket down low. He's able to kick it back out for Hawkins or kick it back out to one of their other 3-point shooters. It's a tough team to guard, for sure.
It's one of those games that you end up, for lack of a better way to put it, you just have to tip your cap. It's not like Wisconsin went out and lost that game. They played very well. Max hit the three to tie it at 85, and then Terrence Shannon just made a tough shot. He made a three, and then they get the steal because AJ's trying to make a play, and that was kind of all that it took. But Illinois is a really good team, and I think Wisconsin showed at that tournament that so are the Badgers.
Let's get into some of these Twitter questions here. Tony says, I personally have not cared as much about the conference tournament unless you need it to get into the NCAA tournament. It was a great showing, but given injuries, will this hurt the team next week? So multiple guys obviously dealing with injuries. Chucky, Tyler Wall, John Blackwell, You mentioned Max Klesmit. Some other guys obviously dinged up as well. After the game on Saturday, I think it was, I saw Kamari McGee. He had ice on his shin where he had gotten stepped on the day before. He had ice on the foot that he had broken earlier in the year. John Blackwell, throughout the entire, you know, really since the Northwestern game where he hurt the ankle early in that one when he got the start for Chucky, really wasn't the same after that. And I don't know if you're ever going to, if you're going to be able to get him back to 100% by this week, probably not, but he fought through it and kept playing. Chucky's got the knee and I'm sure he's got some other ailments, and Tyler's got his knee injury and he had ice on it as well. So they're all dealing with things, but the fact that they get that extra day and not have to play Friday, certainly ideal.
Yeah. Not have to play Thursday and they get the last game on Friday night. You end up with essentially 5 days rest. It's a big deal. It's the cost of doing business. I mean, what's the perfect alternative? That you lose your first game or your second game? If they do that, they end up with, maybe they drop down to a 7 seed. I don't know what the committee viewed Wisconsin as going into the tournament, but we knew that a 3-8 close hadn't put them in a great position. You would like everyone to be healthy, but this is what happens if you're going to play this many games and this many minutes. So you have to hope that these few days gives them enough opportunity to get as close to full strength as they can be. But like, I think Tyler even talked about it in the locker room at this point in the season. If you're playing that many minutes, they're going to be guys who are banged up. And if you're not, it probably means you haven't been going very hard.
Yeah, I mean, luckily for Tyler, obviously didn't play a ton versus Maryland because it was a blowout. Didn't play a ton against Purdue or Illinois either. Certainly not by choice. He struggled with foul trouble in both those games. So he did get a little bit of rest. Got a little bit of rest. Not ideal rest, but he got a little bit of rest. Chris says, is the Badgers' increased offensive pace and willingness to play in transition to blame for their defensive regression?
Well, I don't think the pace is is increased. It's more about efficiency, because we've talked multiple times before. They're still in the 300s in terms of pace. So I don't really buy that. Yes, they were scoring more points, and we know they've a per game basis. They're scoring more points than any Badgers team has in the last 30 years. But I don't feel like that's an excuse for what happened defensively. Now, the Illinois game was a pretty good example of being able to get up and down. But for the most part, I don't think because they're scoring or they were scoring at a more efficient rate that excuses what they did defensively. But the other thing is, part of what was so frustrating about that stretch is they have had games where they have been what they need to be defensively. So you know they're capable of it, but they just have to do it more consistently. And they're going to have to do it here in this NCAA tournament.
I would agree. Todd says, is Store ready for the NBA? First half, I think absolutely. Second half needs polish.
You know, he was asked about it in the locker room in the middle of this tournament and played it off about just focusing on what's happening right now. And the good news is for players in those situations, you can test the NBA waters and then see where you stand and then choose to come back. Personally, I would be surprised if this is it for him and that he ends up going. And I don't know what the NBA evaluators will feel about it, but I just feel like he has so much more room to grow as a college player. And look at the leaps that he made coming from his freshman year at St. John's to what he's doing here at Wisconsin. I just think there's a lot more room for growth. And wouldn't you rather have that growth at the college level where, you know, you can improve your stock and Wisconsin wants you badly? You know, if it doesn't work out in the NBA, you go down to the developmental league or, you know, you could have spent that time in college. So I feel like another year at Wisconsin would serve him very well, because I do feel like there's still some big areas for growth, particularly efficiency with your shot taking and defensively.
I would agree with that. Maddie says, is Nolan Winter's ceiling Coleman Hawkins?
Oh, well, they're very different players. So that's, I guess I don't even compare the two, because I think Coleman is such a matchup problem. He's 6'10". He can shoot the three at a pretty high level, but he can also defend multiple positions. Like, I think they're very different players. But if you know, ceiling from the perspective of can be a really strong three-point shooter, can cause some mismatch issues. I can see some of that, but I think they're totally different players.
Okay. All right. I know you said you haven't studied James Madison too much. Ben says, what are the key matchups, do you think, with James Madison?
Well, it's got to start with their leading scorer, Terrence Edwards Jr. The guy's averaging 17.4 points per game. So if you can stop him, I feel like you're going to be in a pretty good position. But beyond that, maybe the next few days will provide a little bit more insight. But I'm open to whatever you got, Zach.
No, I mean, I think it's a team that certainly has different weapons. They have a number of guys that can shoot it. I think Friedel had the most threes. I think it was 70-something this year. I don't think it's a team that is great at any one thing. You look at the, offensively, efficiency-wise, they're 56 in the country. Defensively, they're 79th. So it's not like they're fantastic at any one thing. But what they have is they're winners, right? I mean, they've won 13 straight. They've won 31 games. I know a lot. I think 24 of those came against quad four opponents. But you can't really account for the ability just to win games. And I think Wisconsin obviously has advantages down low. Stephen Crowell should have a good game. They're not a big team. But you're right. I think it does come down to slowing Terrence Edwards. Don't let him beat you.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that stands out to me as a team is that this team is 10th in the country in scoring offense. They're averaging 84.4 points per game. So they can get up and down. They've got a number of guys who can score. But it's not like you can say, oh, this team is third in the country in three-point shooting, and they've got six guys who shoot at 40-plus percent. It's not that kind of team, but I think collectively they do just play so well together. And I think this is one of those games where Wisconsin's going to have to put up some points if they want to beat James Madison, unless they can completely dictate every facet and turn it into a grinded out game. But I don't know that
this Wisconsin wants to do that.
Right. And that's
which is just fine, right? I don't think they want to do that. And that's just fine.
So I expect a pretty high scoring game is what I'm saying.
Yeah. One more here. Alex says, should Badger Nation be preparing for a trip to Phoenix? I'm a believer in this team again.
I mean, I wouldn't book a non-refundable hotel/flight, but anything's possible. They are playing some of their best basketball of the season, and if they can play the way they did against Purdue, boy, there's a real opportunity there for something special. But first, you got to make it out of the first weekend.
Yep, we'll see if they can do it on Friday night against James Madison. Jesse, thank you very much.
Thanks, Zach.
All right, there he is, Jesse Temple from The Athletic. You've been listening to The Swing.